God would have us to have
on this day. But in your Bibles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, many of you know these verses by heart, but we're going to take a look at them today because I feel they're important, and I think we need to take a look at them closely. And starting at verse number 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." You know, in this National Day of Prayer and this Labor Day weekend, I believe that it's a time that we as a country need to get back on our knees and pray. And I got a question for you today. Are the promises in the Old Testament the same as they are today? Or are they different? They're the same, aren't they? God's word never changes. It always stays the same. So that means that what was written to Solomon or told to Solomon all the way back after Solomon had built the temple for the Lord, all the way back then, God's word is the same then as it is today. You know, I want to go back a little bit from what we had just read, and I want to look at what happened at the start of the chapter. And what we see in the in chapter 7 is the rebuilding of the temple, or the building of the first temple, I should say. And David, as we recall, wanted to build a temple, but God wouldn't allow him to because he was a man of blood. He would not allow David to build a temple because he was a man of war. And so what he did is he said, "I'm going to have your son build the temple." But David put away everything that was needed to build the temple. He put away the gold, he put away the silver, he put all of the trees that were needed to build the temple. He had everything assembled to build the temple, but God would not allow him to do that. So Solomon, after he became king, God told him, "Okay, you can build my temple." And that's what Solomon did. So if we go back to chapter 7 and you read through it, you'll see that he built the temple. But in verse 1, we see the glory of the Lord that filled the newly built temple. And so here we see that God came down onto the temple. In verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." Here we see that there was great sacrifices made unto God, but they weren't started on fire. They were just on the altar. They were just sitting there. And the glory of the Lord came upon the temple, the first temple. I mean, what a sight that had to be. All of a sudden, here comes the glory of the Lord out of heaven and fills the new temple. And it was so filled with holiness that the priests could not enter in to the temple. God came down and he consumed all of the sacrifices himself. I mean, that had to be quite the sight. Now, all of this was happening the day that that Solomon had was dedicating the temple unto the Lord. But in verse 12, God appears to Solomon, and it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for the house of sacrifice." Here we see that Solomon had a great day of sacrificing, great day of dedication for the temple. That night he went in and he was feeling really good. He got into bed, he went to sleep. All of a sudden, God woke him up, kind of like he did me about 2 o'clock this morning. And he says, okay, Solomon, he says, I heard your prayer. I heard what you prayed to me. I heard what the people prayed to me. I heard their prayers. Wow, that was cool, wasn't it? God listens to prayer. Amazing, isn't it? And here we see that the people had been praying, and God says, now I want you to understand that I heard your prayers. Now, God told him that he not only heard his prayers, but when the people made sacrifices, there were many prayers which went up to the Lord and during that time. We need to always remember that it doesn't matter where we are, we can pray. Amen? God hears our prayer no matter where we are. After all, the Bible says what? Pray without ceasing. Pray everywhere. You know, we are to take and lift up our voices to God wherever we are. Now, in verse 16 of what we read, God tells him, if for some reason I judge or chastise you. Let's go back to verse 13 again. It says, if I shut up the windows of heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. What God is saying here is that there's going to be times when you're going to turn your back on me, and I guarantee I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to bring locusts. I'm not going to let the rain fall from heaven. You're going to have crop failure. You're going to have global warming. Does that sound familiar, folks? You know, have you ever thought of global warming? If you go to the Bible, you'll see there's global warming all the way from the beginning of time. I mean, God brought global warming all the time. There was pestilence, there was famine, there was droughts, there was, you name it. And you could have said, well, you know what, that's because of global warming. Right? Here we are yet. Earth didn't pass away. But you know, I want to take a look at verses 14 and 15 in depth. And I believe that if we could grasp these verses, that not only we as Christians in this room, but a nation could take and have God's favor. You know, God starts and he says, if my people which are called by my name, in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7, it says, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. But who, then, are those that are called by the name of God? Who are those who are called by the name of the Lord? I'm glad you asked that question. I really am. I could see that running through your mind. Well, who then is that? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. You know, the Bible says any man who will let him in is called by his name. The very moment that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we've been called by his name. Cool? All of us at one time in our life were called by his name. You know, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many will hear the gospel message, but few will answer the call and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I guarantee as the days go farther, less and less are going to get saved. I guarantee it. 20 years ago when we started this church, well, 19 years ago, but almost 20, we could knock on doors and we would see people saved every single week. I remember one Saturday we went out bus calling and soul winning, me and another guy from the church, and we went into this housing development And we walked up to this house, knocked on this door, and a young boy, a teenager, came to the door, and we started talking to him, led him to the Lord. He said to us, he says, "You need to talk to my brother. He needs this too." We went, we started talking to his brother. His brother got saved. He says, "You need to talk to my mom." And they went and got their mom, and we led her to the Lord. They started taking us around the neighborhood to all of their friends, and they were showing us all of their friends. That day, we saw 35 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That was the best day I've ever had soul winning. But that wasn't the greatest part about it. That was on Saturday. Sunday, we went out with the bus, and we picked a lot of them up for church, brought them in. And the following Sunday, one of the little boys, he says, "I want to get baptized." I said, "Okay, fine." So I had the baptismal all ready, and I was going to baptize the one little boy. And I got down in the water, and Tuck, he came up and he says, "Pastor, you need to look at this." And I said, "What?" I said, "Well, bring the little boy in." He goes, "No." He says, "You got to look at this." And I got out of the water, and I went over to the window, and I looked, and the people were lined up down the steps, out the door, all the way to the front of the church, waiting to get baptized. We baptized 39 people that Sunday morning. 39! I mean, you talk about the waters being stirred, that water went down a foot and a half. But listen, that's what it's all about. You know, that's what this is all about. The Bible says anybody who hears the name of the Lord can be saved. You know, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not might be, but shall be saved. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Many will hear the gospel message, but there's not everybody that's going to get saved. But then he goes on to say, "Will humble themselves." You know, what exactly does it mean to humble yourself? You know, wasn't too awful long ago, in fact it was about a week ago, my wife and I were sitting watching the movie War Room again. I like watching those movies over and over. I think I've seen Facing the Giants probably 100 times, and I've seen Fireproof, and I've seen all of them. But we went and we watched War Room one more time. And I like the show War Room because it's about a lady who has a closet, a prayer closet, and she goes in and she prays, but you know, as I was watching that, something stood out to me that was very good, and it was this. Have you ever felt when you prayed that your prayers only went to the ceiling? Have you ever done that? You pray and you go, "Well, Lord, you're not hearing my prayer anyway." You know, it just gets up the ceiling and that's as far as it gets. It doesn't go any farther. You're thinking, "There's something wrong here, Lord. You're not listening." Right? Well, you know, the problem of it is this, is that we may not be right with God. You know, one of the things about the movie War Room was this. What did the lady have in the closet? Who can tell me? How many of you have ever seen the movie War Room? You need to watch it. You need to see the movie. This old lady, and she had a closet, and in this closet, there was a chair. That's it. That's all that was in this closet. She had taken everything out of this closet other than a chair, and that's where she went to pray. And you know what? She never sat on that chair. She got down on her knees on that prayer, by that chair and prayed. All over her wall in that closet were things that she prayed about. People that she prayed for. She prayed for the nation. She prayed for kids in school. She prayed for everything that came to her mind that she needed to pray for was on that wall. But you know, the thing that I got out of that was that she humbled herself to God. She got down on her knees and she humbled herself before an Almighty God. You know, we feel many times that God owes us something. We feel that God has to give us what we want. Well, I don't want to pop your bubble, but God doesn't have to give us anything. Did you know that? He already gave us all that He had to give us, and that was His only begotten Son. He doesn't have to answer one of our prayers if He doesn't want to, because He's God. But He does because He's God. You know, He allows us to live from day to day. He gives us the portion of food that we need. But God wants to see us come humbly into His presence. You know, if you read verse 4, you'll see the people bowed themselves with their faces to the ground. They humbled themselves in a position on their knees and they begged God for what they needed. You know, we need to take and remember that we need to humble ourselves before God. In James 4:12 it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up." We need to come humbly before an almighty God. I think many times when we pray, we come so commonplace, don't we? I know I do this, and I shouldn't. You sit down to eat supper at night, and the news is on, and there's something you want to watch on the news, and you go, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for the food. Blessed are our bodies. Amen." Right? Now, I don't know about you. It happens to me, and I'm the pastor. You know, I don't believe we come humbly into the presence of God as we should. We need to take and come humbly into God's presence. The next thing is, though, we need to pray. You know, how's your prayer life? You know, God told Solomon that if the people who are called by His names would humble themselves and pray, you know, what kind of prayer, though, does God want to hear from us? First thing He wants to hear is the prayer of salvation. He wants to hear us say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven." Amen. "I accept You to be Lord and Savior of my life." That's the first prayer that God wants to hear. Once we're saved, He wants us to come to Him without what? Ceasing? Without ceasing? He wants us to pray without ceasing. He wants us to pray to Him always. He wants us to come into His presence with thanksgiving and with prayer. We need to first have the prayer of salvation, but then He wants to hear the prayer of forgiveness. You know, when we're living in sin, you know, we've turned our backs on God, and we're living our lives the same as everybody else, God wants to hear us ask for forgiveness. After all, 1 John 1:9 says what? "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I want to challenge you this week to read 1 John. It's a small book, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot in it. John was writing to the Christians. He says, "I want you to understand something. If you sin, if you do something that you should not do, you can confess that sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." You need to realize that you need to have forgiveness. You know, we're living in an age where people have retrobate minds. They feel there's no God, and they're playing the part of a fool. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." And if you don't believe that, just go up to some of these festivals that they have, and you will see the ungodly things that are happening. My wife yesterday was at a wedding. I didn't go. in Illinois, and my sister-in-law's daughter got married, my niece, and it's my wife's niece, not my niece, my wife's niece. I just want to clarify that it's her family and my family, and her family had a wedding yesterday, and she had to go to save face with her sisters, and I said, I'm not going, and she goes, they're going to be mad. I said, I really don't care. I'm not going. I'm not going. And so, you know, I have convictions, and that's one of them. I do not go certain places. One of them is to a Renaissance festival. And so this is where the wedding was being held. There's 100,000 people at this Renaissance festival. And they're having a wedding there. I'm thinking, man, it cost them $25 just to get into the wedding. I said to my wife, I said, you paid $25 to go see her get married? I said, are you out of your mind? I said, the wedding's only going to last maybe a year. I said, after all, how is it going to last with where they got married? You know, it's unbelievable. Anyway, so my granddaughters, they said to my wife, they said, well, Grandma, aren't you going to take and go and look around? And she says, no. They said, why not? And my wife, I'll be nice, I won't say what she said, but anyway, she said, there's some awful ungodly things around here. And my granddaughter said, oh, Grandma, you're just so old-fashioned. 10 minutes later, the two of them came back. Now, one of them is 24 and the other one is 22. They're young adults. They come walking back and they sat down at the table alongside my wife. And my wife says, well, why are you back here already? They said, well, Grandma, we thought we better stay and keep you company. And she goes, don't lie to me. And my oldest granddaughter looked at her and she says, Grandma, I never dreamed that it could be that bad. In all my wildest dreams, I could not fathom it being that bad. Men kissing men, women kissing women. She said the way they were dressed was unbelievable. On the way home from there, my wife was talking to me on the speakerphone, and my son-in-law, and I have not seen eye to eye religiously over the course of our lifetime. And this is what he said to me on the speakerphone. He said, I want to thank you for having your convictions. I want to thank you for having your convictions. And I said to him, I said, why? He says, I wish I would have stayed home too. He says, that was the worst thing I'd ever been at in my entire life. And you know, we're living in an age of a reprobate mind. People have no shame anymore. People have no values. People have no morals. You know, when our previous president of the United States lit up the lighthouse in rainbow colors, that sent a message to everybody. You know, when people are placed in protective custody for allowing students to gather around a flagpole and pray, there's something wrong with our nation. You know, God wants to hear our prayers of forgiveness for allowing this country to get so far away from Him. Then he goes on to say, to seek my face. You know, as you know, no one can look at God face to face and live. You know, and that's not what this is talking about. What God is saying is you need to seek my favor. You need to look for my favor. You need to look to find out what I do not like. And then you quit doing it. We are to seek the favor of God and do what He has commanded us to do. Daniel 9:3 says, And I set my faith unto God, the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication, by fasting and sackcloth of ashes. As we recall, how many times a day did Daniel pray? Three. Morning, noon, and night. And what did that cost him? Almost lunch. He almost was lunch, or supper. He spent the whole night in the lion's den. We need to realize that we need to take and seek God's favor. You know, if we will humble ourselves and pray, seek God's face or His favor, then God tells us what's going to happen. Actually, there's one more thing there. And, you know, I was reading in this article about, and this is what they had. They said, the article quoted, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves in prayer, or in pray, and seek my face," then it went on to say, "Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." They forgot one important part of that verse. One very important part of that verse. And that's this: turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. You know, it isn't enough for us to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's favor. You know, why do we need to turn from our wicked ways? You know, all through the Old Testament, we see Israel doing what God wanted them to do. Then they became comfortable with what God had given them, and they did something stupid. And what did God have to do? He had to chastise them. Listen, they didn't turn from their wicked ways. If you go through and you read what they did, oh, they might have taken and tore down the idols that they had set up and things like that, but they didn't go all the way. They didn't clean themselves perfectly clean. Listen, God says, turn from your wicked ways. Get rid of the sin that you're committing. Get rid of the world. Get rid of the things that are clouding your life. God became angry with Israel and He would put them into bondage. You know, the very same thing is going to happen to us if we don't turn from our wicked ways. You know, when I was growing up, my dad many times would say, "I do not know how things could ever get worse." But you know what they have? They have got worse. You know, we're just like the Israelites. We get comfortable with our wicked ways and we don't want to flee from them. You know, this is a conditional promise. Did you know that? There's a conditional or an everlasting promise. A conditional promise is one that God says, if you do this, I'll do this. This is a conditional promise. God says, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, the next word there, I want you to look at that next word. What does the next word say? Then. Then. God says, okay, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. You've got to do this first, and if you do this, then I will do this. Well, what is it then? He will hear from heaven. He'll listen to our prayers. You know, He's waiting to hear us come and ask for forgiveness. Then He's going to forgive their sins. He'll forgive the sins that they've committed. You know, even though we've lived a sinful life as a nation, God promises that He'll forgive the things that we've done. You know, how sad it is, though, when we feel that we don't have to go to God and ask for forgiveness. You know, wouldn't it be an awesome thing if our country would humble itself and pray and seek God's face and turn from its wicked ways? Wouldn't that be neat? God then would hear our prayers from heaven. And He would heal our land. God promises that all the bad that He would punish us for, He wouldn't punish us. All of the famine, the pestilence, the disease, the climate changes, that this would all go away. You know, if you go and you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find God telling the people, if they go after other gods and do not do as He has commanded them to do, He's going to punish them very severely. In 2 Chronicles 7:22 it says, and it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath He brought all this evil upon them. You know, we need to remember the promises of God and not forsake the commands that He's given us. You know, if we do sin or transgress, you know, against Him, we can always humble ourselves and pray. We can turn from our wicked ways, and He will heal our land. But we need to do that as a country. We need to do that as a land. Where does that start? It doesn't start here in the churches. It starts right there in each and every one of us. If the people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn what? From their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. That's what we need to do, folks. We need to make sure first that we know for sure we're on our way to heaven. That's the first prayer that God wants to hear, is our prayer asking Him to come into our life. Then we need to humble ourselves and pray. And He'll do what He says. Because He's just as faithful today as He was the day that was written. As long as we do what He wants us to. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this morning. We thank You for all that You've done.